Unfiltered, the official Sunderland AFC podcast.
Welcome to SAFC Unfiltered, sponsored by Alpha Security. Myself and Danny are up at the Academy once again for the final time in 2022.
Yeah, it's to join the skipper, isn't it? Have a chat about the season so far, how he's enjoying things, and what we're looking forward to for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's the halfway point of the season as well. How do you think it's gone?
I would say pretty much where we are in the table sums up the season so far. I think we've had obviously good performances. We've held our own in most of the games. Nobody's really blown us away, to be honest.
We've certainly adapted to life in the Championship a lot better than a lot of people thought.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, if you would have said to most fans before the start of the season, you know, as you said there, we came up through the playoffs. A lot of younger boys who have just come into the team haven't played at this level before. Where we're sat, it's a good position to be in, but at the same time, you're perhaps a little bit, not say frustrated, where you're looking, you know, for instance, if we'd have picked up the 3 points Saturday, we're a point outside the playoffs.
It's injuries as well, feel frustrated about, don't you?
Yeah, you've got to take that into consideration as well. But yeah, no, I think a good solid 23 games under the belt.
And Corey Evans, captain as well. It's good to get a captain's perspective on things, especially at such a big club like Sunderland. And he's played at this level before, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, he has, yeah. And I think, you know, his performances towards the end of last season and what I've seen so far this season, I think he's been excellent. Does that job, doesn't he, just in front of the back four? I keep saying it puts the fires out, really. When the full-backs are stepping out, he's across, challenges, picks up the ball and gets us going again on the front foot. And I think you're seeing that and the benefits of him playing regular football now. He had one or two injury issues last season, early on in the first half of last season. But no, I think he's been excellent in there. More often than not, obviously, alongside Dan Neil. But yeah, no, I've been impressed with him so far.
All right then, let's go and invite him into this room we're in. We're in like a kind of a giant ice cube, it looks like. But anyway, this is where we are at the Academy. Let's get Corey Evans in. So welcome to SAFC Unfiltered, Sunderland captain Corey Evans. Corey, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks for having me.
No problem at all. It feels like we've had you on before, but we haven't actually had you on the podcast before. We had you on the gantry
a couple of times.
But we haven't had you on SAFC Unfiltered, so it's good to get you on. And it's perfect time, really, to get you on because, you know, halfway through the season, you know, smack right bang in the middle of the league as well. How do you assess things then?
Middle table, but we're probably a bit disappointed. We're not higher up, but it is still very tight. It is still very congested. You know, a couple of wins and you'll be right in the mix again. So, but I think we've played every team now, you know, and there's every game, I feel like we've been in every game. So, I mean, probably some results along the way, we've been frustrated and disappointed with, particularly when we've had the lead. You know, West Brom the other night springs to mind, Burnley, you know, there's probably a couple of others, QPR 2-0 up, you know, especially at home as well. That's a disappointing thing. So hopefully we can try and rectify that in the second part of the season, particularly our home form. Hopefully we can end the season well.
And obviously we've been missing Ellis and Ross as well for large periods of the first half of the season. And you do look at the league table and those close results, especially the ones at home, the nil-nils as well against Preston and Blackpool as well. And you think, if only, because it's fine margins in the league, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I think in this league from experience, you know, the ones that put back-to-back wins and go on and win, you know, two or three games in a row, that really shoots up the table. And that's something we've been looking to build on. I think we've only done it once, the Birmingham and Millwall game. You get a couple of them on the bounce and, you know, you're right up there.
And you've played a lot of games at this level yourself, so you must be well aware of the environment of which we're playing in the Championship. And you touched upon it there. You said that you haven't felt that, you know, we've been blown away by anyone, you know, over 90 minutes this season. Are you confident, you know, with everyone fit, you know, we could really actually compete higher than we are?
Yeah, no, I think so. You know, you look at the squad, you know, it's getting stronger now with Ross coming back, Daniel Ballard, Edward, you know, Niall Huggins. There's been a lot of players who we've been missing throughout the first part of the season. So I think, you know, going into the second half and maybe the club as well will probably look to strengthen as well in January. So, you know, there's a lot of positives to take from the first part, but hopefully we can keep improving. You know, you can't stand still in this league. You need to keep kicking on.
I agree with you, everything you've said there, Corey. And from our point of view, as covering the games on a Saturday and obviously midweek, halfway stage of the season, and I think the frustration, call it frustration if you like, but where we're sat, I know if we'd have picked up 3 points at the weekend against Hull, we'd have been a point off the playoffs. So I think that's what you class as the frustration, really. Yeah. We're not far away from it. I don't feel that any of the teams, yeah, we've watched everybody now, nobody's really blown us away. We have a lot of possession in games, we've created opportunities, and as Frankie said there, that's without your main man up the top end of the pitch, Ross, and yeah. Ellis was obviously injured for a lot of that as well. But we've got on with things. We've got match winners in the team. Obviously, Ahmad's been in great form, hasn't he? You've got the likes of Pritchard in there as well. Jack Clark, Patrick coming off the bench. So I think it's there for us, isn't it, really, to kick on and to really put pressure on the teams above us.
It is. I think, you just mentioned them players there, the attacking players we've got. You know, we have got a lot of match winners in the squad. They're all capable of producing a bit of magic on their day. And we just have to keep, the team going and get them the opportunities, and we trust them, especially with Ross not coming back. He's been a big miss. He's our talisman, our main player, our top goal scorer of last season. So it's not just his goals, it's his all-round play in general. Everyone knows what Ross is like, and to have him back and obviously coming on at the weekend and scoring, it'll be great for his confidence, and hopefully we can keep him fit and keep the attacking players and everyone in the squad fit for the second part of this season.
Having said that, though, there has been players in the first part of the season who have, excelled and came on as professional footballers. Look at Anthony Patterson, you look at Ahmad, and Danny Bart as well, who's having, his best spell at Sunderland.
Yeah, I mean, there's been great performances throughout the first part of the season. I think Pato, you mentioned, he's been unbelievable for his age. It's just his calmness, his composure, for a goalkeeper so young. You don't usually see that. So I think he's got a really big future ahead of him, Anthony. And he's great to have there. He's full of, just takes the calmness, and you got full confidence in him when he's in nets. Even just coming for crosses, little things like that. Dan Neal, another one, he's his second season in first team football. I think he's took to the championship really well too.
And of course, playing alongside yourself as well, I imagine he's learning a lot from you.
Yeah, no, I just try and keep Dan right with little things throughout games. But he's a really talented player, Dan, another one who's going to have a really bright future in the game.
He's quite mature for his age, isn't he? We've spoke to Dan on the podcast, haven't we, a couple of times, in was he early 20s, he's 21, 22, Dan, I think. Obviously playing week in, week out alongside yourself in there, but off the pitch, is he quite a mature lad as well? You can see he wants to learn, he wants to take things on board.
I'm laughing at that one there, because he's not all there at times,
so he's putting on a bit of a front when he comes to speak to us.
Yeah, he's acting a bit there, but he's got his head screwed on, he's got a good family behind him, Dan, and I think even he would admit, if there was a quiz to say who's the least intelligent, he'd probably be up there in the squad.
Really?
He does say academically he's quite bright, but
general stuff.
He did say the other day, he said, academically I'm quite smart, but real world stuff I'm not. So that sums himself up.
Yeah. Okay.
We've touched upon Ahmad, and he's probably been the star of the season so far for Sunderland, with people being out injured and others. But just how good is he? He was bought for a high price tag for Manchester United, your former club, of course, as well. What have they seen in him, and what can you see on a daily basis? Why is he so good?
I think we've seen it in training when he first came. He had sort of this natural ability. But obviously he was coming off the bench, and maybe he was just getting used to the league or whatever at the start of season. And there was times, I remember a couple of times where he threw on goal and we were saying shoot, and he was trying to maybe walk things in the net. But I think he's learning, he's still young, but it's undoubted his ability. The price tag he has probably added that bit of pressure to himself, but he's taking it all in, and we can see he's a level-headed boy as well. He's just down to earth, normal fella, and works hard every day in training. And he's getting his rewards at the minute. He's playing really well, and he's been probably our go-to man the last little run of games we've had. Birmingham away, the goal was unbelievable. But we see him do that every day in training, so it's no surprise to us.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, yeah, sometimes you get those players, we call them a five-a-side player, don't you? Where they do it in training. I've played with a few here in my time where they do it on that. And
you can name names if you want, Danny.
We won't, though. So you get to a Saturday afternoon, and then all of a sudden they go missing and they want to try too much on the ball. But I think, and I've said it before, haven't I, when we've done the comms, what I liked about them when we're perhaps not having a good spell in the game he goes looking for the ball and he puts a shift in, he works back. And sometimes you don't get them from them wide players. They go missing, stand out on the touchline, and they don't get the ball for 10, 15 minutes. You forget they're on the pitch. But I think that's what's impressed me as well for such a young lad, almost taking a game by the scruff of the neck. And you've mentioned it there, some of the goals he scored in recent weeks, a couple of assists as well, playing a massive part in the success we're having.
Yeah, he is. And I think maybe when he came, he was sort of seen as the down the middle, sort of the something different to Ross and Ellis.
Play more of a 10 maybe
as
well.
Yeah, and I think he sort of found his place out in the right a wee bit now. He's coming inside, gets a bit more time on that, and he can sort of drift from there. I think it suits him really well in that position.
Because in a way, he's coming into Patrick's position. Similar players, aren't they? Like to come off that right-hand side, dribble through the pitch on their left foot. And
yeah.
I guess Patrick's been a little bit frustrated. Come on at the weekend, obviously played a part in the goal. But it's competition for places, and at this moment in time, it's hard to take the shirt off Ahmad, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, Pat was probably our best player in a lot of games there at the start of the season. You know, the
Reading away, wasn't it?
Yeah, Reading away, you know, the two goals there. And, you know, even just, he's another one every day in training. He's a nightmare to play against. He's sticking it through your legs and running around, and you think you've got it, and he's chopping it back. And, you know, he's one of the players you don't want to face. So, you know, as you mentioned, it's competition for places in the squad now, and you know, that's what you need to have a good season in any league, really.
Well, speaking of Patrick Roberts, he might get an opportunity because, sadly, it looks like Elliot Embledon's going to be out for a spell on the sidelines. Someone as well, you played with at Grimsby, Elliot, and everyone here at Sunderland Football Club wish him well. But it could make an opportunity for someone like Patrick to get back in the side. And especially with Alex Pritchard as well.
I have to say, I'm got it for Embo. You know, he's finally got his chance the last couple of games, or he's starting a couple of games on the bounce. But you know, that's football, and you know, I wish him a speedy recovery, as we all do here from the team. But you know, you mentioned them players. Alex Pritchard's out for a couple of weeks here. So there is places up for grab, you know, potentially Danny Bath maybe as well. He came off the weekend, so we don't know how bad his injury is at the minute. So, you know, but we have Ross, as you mentioned, coming back. Ballard came in, done really well, thought, in the game.
He was involved in everything, wasn't he? Yeah, quite literally.
Yeah, literally, you know, and, you know, he's even cramping up at the end.
But yeah, that one first half as well, where it rocked him, didn't it?
So, I don't even think he was expecting to come on that early, but I thought he'd done really well for his first game back. And as you say, you've got all these players, you know, even competition now. You've got Adji and Dennis, fullback areas, and there's competition throughout the team.
Yeah, I said that as well, didn't we? Looking at the lads who weren't involved at the weekend, obviously Metete, Diaku, there was a few there who perhaps didn't even make the squad, so good competition for places. And unfortunately, at the same time as well, sometimes you're getting lads back from the treatment room. As you said, Ross is back out there. Dan Ballard's coming back out. And then you look like you're losing a couple as well. It's strange how
it's always the way,
isn't
it?
Yeah, sometimes the treatment room's empty. And then all of a sudden, four or five bodies in there. And fans sometimes look at it and say, well, what are they doing in training? It's just how it goes, isn't it?
Yeah, that's always the way. And it just seems to be how it is in football. You know, you've got a clean bill of health, clean squad, and then before you know it, you've got two or three.
Pete Brown's on overtime.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it'll be now, yeah. Especially over this Christmas period, you know, all these fixtures coming up. So hopefully we can get everyone through these games, you know, unscathed and fit.
Just looking at it, just going back to obviously Elliot's red card at the weekend, we've had a couple of look at it. I thought it was a strong yellow. I think from one angle it looks, you probably had a good view of it. I'm not sure. What did you make of it?
I thought it was really harsh.
Yeah. Looked worse than what it was, perhaps, you think?
I didn't even think it looked bad at the time. I just think it was a bouncing ball, and they're both sort of gone.
They're both
for
out
it.
Of control, really, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of them ones I was trying to say to the ref.
The referee made his mind up instantly, though.
Instantly,
didn't he
had it out. I don't think he had it out really quick. You know. You know, as soon as I seen that, I couldn't believe it, and I was over to him, and I was just like, you know, it's a bit rash, the decision, I think. You know, you've got it straight out, you know, take a bit of time to think about it. And he sort of put it away, and then I thought...
Yeah, he did, because he was waiting to everyone just to calm
so
down.
That way you're in his ear trying to work on him and say, listen, it's a loose ball. They've both gone in for it.
I think it's
slightly hard.
Whoever gets there first, obviously, he comes off the worst, but obviously not in the case of Embo. He's you know, fractured his ankle or his leg. So, I mean, I thought it was really harsh, and it was a real turning point in the game, because I think if we had 11 men... you know, with the subs and that we had coming on, I think we would have probably went on to win the game. You know what? You know, it's probably a decent point in the end to come away from home with 10 men. and we just got to, you know, put it in the bag and move on.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had this period of time where you went off to Dubai for some warm weather training. That's because the World Cup's been on as well. Did you get a chance to take in the games? Obviously,
yeah, no,
Bailey and Dewey getting some game time as well. And then we had that wonderful final as well on Sunday. It was
brilliant. Yeah, no,
probably one of the best games of football I've ever seen.
I've really enjoyed this World Cup. I've enjoyed watching it with my kids, because I remember my first World Cup was France 98, you know, and that was me sort of growing up. I would have been 8 years old at the time, so
I feel old now.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm sending my kids, you know, so probably my daughter's 9 and my son's 6, and they're both really into football, so I was like, oh, you know, you're witnessing one of the best World Cups ever. You're lucky with the final at the weekend. You know, it was great to watch.
And the Messi story as well.
Yeah, no, Messi. I'm obviously buzzing for Messi. I think, you know, he's probably had a hard time with Argentinian fans a lot, and over the past lot of years, the comparison to Maradona. So I think they finally get that now. Just sort of, you know, cements his status as the best ever.
And what about yourself, international-wise? You've got Michael O'Neill's heading back, is that true?
Yeah, he's back now. So we've got games coming up in March for qualifying for the Euros.
Do you feel like there's a real chance?
I think if you look at the group, we've got Denmark, who's the top seed. So, you know, they're still a really good team, some really good players. But I think usually in the past, we've had teams like Germany, Italy, Portugal, you know, we've always had, you know, a big nation to come up against. But with obviously Denmark and Finland, I think, are the two top seeds ahead of us. You know, there's a real chance there. And I think
not great World Cup, Denmark.
No, yeah, really, that's true. So yeah.
Fell short.
And, you know, looking at that, I think with the squad that we have and Michael coming back, I think, you know, it's all to play for.
No, I was going to obviously bring it back to his time when he joined Sunderland. I know we've jumped back into a little bit here with the World Cup mentioned there as well. But when you signed, you come in from Blackburn, you'd had a couple of your last seasons there, you'd had one or two injury issues, then you joined Sunderland. And I think in the first half of last season, you missed a dozen games or so, picking up one or two injuries.
Yeah.
But then after there, just looking at the stats earlier on, I think you played the last 19 games. And then part of what was a great run, wasn't it, what we needed just to get to the playoffs itself.
Yeah.
Do you then obviously feel at your fittest when you come back? And it's obviously no secret again, is it? When you're playing games of football, when you're getting the 90 minutes under your belt, that's when you're getting that fitness up. And
yeah, that's it. This is probably the fittest I've felt in my career for a long time. But I think it just comes with playing 90 minutes every week, as you say. And you know, to have the confidence in your body that you go out, you know, you can do it consistently, game on game. Whereas, you know, when you're sort of picking up little niggles and you're getting maybe 30 minutes here or 60 here and you're sort of chasing everything, you know, your body doesn't have enough time to recover and you start picking up more niggles, and it's just a vicious circle you get into where it's frustrating both for yourself as a player, but just like as probably the manager as well. And you know, in the past, maybe managers have been like, I can't put him in because he might get injured again. Yeah. And that's just sort of how it goes. And you know, but I've been fortunate enough to play around 90 minutes last season, and I've just sort of continued that throughout this season.
Yeah. And then obviously at the end of last season as well, what was that feeling like at Wembley? Nearly 50,000 Sunderland fans there lifting the trophy.
Unbelievable. You know, it's probably a day I'll never forget to do it at Wembley. Probably the best way to win any promotion.
Probably, not for the fans, it's a bit stressful.
Yeah, no, I think
your nails gone.
That's it. I mean,
especially at Sunderland Football Club as well. Yeah, so many finals.
Yeah, no, but I think the whole day, the occasion itself, it was my first time playing at Wembley. Having all my family there, and then as you mentioned, the fans, the 50,000, it was unbelievable.
Was Johnny down there?
Yeah, he
well?
Did. Yeah, he came.
You played with Johnny here?
Yeah, played with Johnny.
Yeah, you played with him, didn't you?
Yep.
He was down, he came, and then he shot off after, because I think he had a game the next day, if I can think back. But yeah, no, it was great. I had everyone there, all my family and my kids and that, so it was a special day, wasn't it?
Yeah, a real special day.
When you joined the club again, did you speak to Johnny? Obviously, Johnny had a season or two here, didn't he? And we got promoted back then. I think it was 2005-06, wasn't it, I think. Did you speak to Johnny about the club before you come up here? What's it like, Johnny? And did he give you...
Well, I already knew Johnny loved his time up here.
Yeah. The fans loved him as well.
Yeah, no, he had two loan spells. I remember the first game I went to watch him was in the Championship. He was... it was away to Preston. You might have played in that one.
Yeah, probably alongside him at fullback.
Yeah, probably. And then I think the next game was the following year in the Premier League against Chelsea at home. But I know he had a great time up here, and it was massive for his career, his development. Playing for a big club and then going back to Man United, it's quite similar in terms of, like, the fan base and everything that comes with the pressures of playing for the club. So I think he really valued his time here, and going back, I did obviously speak to him briefly before I was signing, and he was just like, "Oh, you've got to go." Once you get up there and you realise the size and everything, it's just something different.
I guess in English football, there's only around about 8 or 9, 10 clubs who can say they've got the fan base on a regular basis. The size of Sunderland Football Club, it has to be a draw within football, is it?
Oh yeah, massive. Playing against old teammates from other clubs that have come to the Stadium of Light when we played, they can't get over the size, and they're like, "Oh, it must be unbelievable playing here every week." And it is something special, and you walk out and, the fans, I think last season the playoff first leg against Sheffield Wednesday was unreal. Yeah, it was like
bouncing, wasn't
that
it?
That was brilliant. That was a really good an atmosphere that night. And probably my first game as well, walking out as captain at home to Wigan at the start of last season. That's when you first really take it in. You can't really describe it until you're involved and you see it.
So the fans definitely make a difference to the players on the pitch then when they're
massive. I think we're all looking forward to this Boxing Day game, because usually Boxing Day means there's a big turnout of number of fans.
40,000 plus, I'd imagine. Yeah.
We'll
be over 40,000.
That's incredible.
And Blackburn will play their part as well, your former club.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they'll travel in their numbers too. I'll probably make for a really good game.
They're a good side, aren't they? I thought we were really unlucky when we played them earlier this season. Both their goals, against us.
I think when you look back at the first goal,
penalty on Jack,
and then they go down the other end, and Ben Burton sticks one in the top corner of his weak foot, and you're like,
and then start the second half, free kick comes in. When's your linesman?
I mean, so, but as they've had a good start to this season, a good first half, and
the other day
against Norwich away. I still speak to a couple of their lads. I'm really close friends with Bradley Dack, and he's looking forward to coming and to playing at the Stadium of Light. He's never been, so I mean. It's going to be a good game, I think, on Boxing Day.
Yeah, everyone's looking forward to it. It's always a big fixture around Christmas time. We're going to talk about, maybe not a negative, but there's an issue starting to be underlined by not just ourselves, but people in the media and fans. And that's our failure to convert from corners. Oh, I don't know if you know about this. We're over 100 now.
Is that the number?
101, I think. 101. 101 corners, no goals.
You practice them.
We do them every day before a game. I don't know what it's been. Are we the lowest in the league? We haven't scored from yet.
Set play was the first goal, wasn't it? The penalty last week. Yeah.
We didn't have a penalty until that one either.
Is it?
So obviously no corners, wide free kicks.
I'll tell you what, if we start scoring from corners, then we'll be flying in out of set pieces, because usually that's the hardest things from open play, I think, but it does add massive bit of something to your game if you can start converting from set pieces, because they can win or lose your games, as we've seen.
Get some tall lads back, like Daniel Ballard and Roscoe.
Ross coming back, Ellis.
Obviously, Danny Ballard's had a couple recently, and he just glanced one last week.
Yeah. It's not through lack of trying or working on them, but.
There's only so much you can do, isn't there? We got asked after the game, didn't we? And someone said about set plays, what are they doing in set play situations? And I said, well, corners, you can either have in swingers, out swingers, try some short corners. Well, it just doesn't work sometimes.
We have been trying some short corners recently and stuff, just trying to move. The opposition defence about a bit, change the angle and different things. But I'm sure one will drop soon.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come. Talking about things dropping,
I'm still waiting. Yeah,
we're still waiting for one of your rakers from outside the box.
So am I.
He's got fiver on it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Do you want to do your quiz now?
Should we get into it?
Might as well then.
Yeah, just said he likes quizzes as well. So
I was doing loads of quizzes during lockdown, COVID, over Zoom.
And that's where he got his penchant for quizzes.
On the buses as well.
We
used to have, obviously, staff table, defenders, midfielders, attackers on away trips. And I was the nerd with a microphone doing quizzes. Right, okay, mate. So a mixed bag on these, mainly football. A Christmas one thrown in there as well. But the first one is about your career. And who did you score your first Sunderland goal against on the 5th of February 2022? Was it Cheltenham? Was it Morecambe? Or was it Doncaster Rovers?
Doncaster.
What was the score that day?
We got beat 2-1, didn't we?
We did.
That was...
in between managers.
Jermaine Defoe's return that day, wasn't it?
Yeah, big crowd.
It
didn't go to plan.
No. Bittersweet, you say, would you?
Good start, though, Corey.
Good start, yeah. Right, okay, we're on to the World Cup now. And Enner Valencia scored the opening goal of the World Cup for Ecuador.
Yeah.
But what was unique about this goal? Can you remember it?
I actually missed this game.
Oh, it's not a good start.
Right, what was unique about it?
What was the score? Was it 3-0 Qatar?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, he got a couple, didn't he?
Yeah. He scored two, didn't he?
Yeah, one choked off, didn't he?
Yeah.
For offside early on, but then he scored just after. But something that was unique about the goal.
I've got no idea.
Has he scored like so many goals in a row or something for...
You're right. I think he scored six consecutive games.
That's not it.
Okay,
no. Did you get a bonus point for that?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't know then. I wouldn't know the answer.
Not going to chuck in it, no.
No.
Well, back set plays, really. It's the first goal that's been scored, the opening goal of a World Cup tournament from the penalty spot.
Is it?
The first penalty, yeah.
Wow.
That's been scored.
Wow.
It's a tournament.
It's a good one, that.
Yeah.
It's a bit too hard, I think.
Yeah. But he got the blocks when he did this first one. Okay, question number three. Off to his country now, Northern Ireland. And I need all four of the only four players have reached 100 caps for Northern Ireland. Who are they? I need all four for the point.
Right. So, Johnny's one.
Johnny is.
Stephen Davis.
Yes.
Aaron Hughes.
Yes.
Pat Jennings.
Yes.
He's done it.
Nailed him.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Stephen Davis, any idea how many he's on? Top of the pile?
138.
140.
140 now, is he?
Johnny 100, yeah.
Yeah. Johnny's 100.
Well done.
What do you get if you get 100? Do you get some kind of medal or something?
Johnny's was last trip there, Greece away. I'm trying to remember if he did get... To be honest, I think he just got a shirt with like 100 on it. Like,
I mean, like some achievement, though.
A golden cap.
I'm not sure. We usually get sent the caps out.
Do you get a cap
later?
You don't get a cap for each game, do you?
No, you used to. Used to years ago. Now it's like the campaign.
Yeah,
05-06, and then the game's written on the cap, you know?
Yeah, I think it's only England really that dish him out per game. I think so.
There we go. Yeah. Right, so you're on 2 out of 3, is he?
Yeah, 2 out of 3. So we're moving on to Christmas films.
Right, okay.
Home Alone. How old is Kevin in the movie Home Alone?
How old's Kevin in the movie?
How old's Kevin in the movie in Home Alone?
That's a tough one, that, does he?
Remember when he's buying that toothbrush or he's shopping, he says it, doesn't he? Do you remember?
I was watching this the other day.
11?
He's quite short then for 11.
Eight.
He's eight?
Eight years old.
Eight?
Yeah, he's 8 years old. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's a good question, though. Eight.
Oh. Yeah.
There we go. Favourite Christmas movie?
Got one.
I do like Home Alone. Probably the second one, New York.
Yeah.
Because then I think every time you see New York on TV, just think, like at Christmas time just think of Home Alone. You know, it's something special about it, isn't there?
Going to check when he gets in now.
Have you got a favourite Christmas movie, Danny?
I like the Home Alone ones. I'd have to go for them, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
But then they started getting daft when they changed.
Oh, Home Alone 3 got a bit.
Right off, wasn't it?
Yeah, once Kevin McCall.
There was one out last year as well. It's on Disney Plus. I don't know if you've seen
it. Oh, is it?
It's gone.
No.
Milking it, aren't
I? Do like Elf and all as well,
Elf's last night in our house, actually.
Elf's good,
Kids had that on last night, yeah. Okay, last one. Number five. Who has made more appearances for Sunderland teammates one? Anthony Patterson or Dennis Sirkin?
Ooh, it was a milestone for Pato,
I seen
it?
Something the other day. It was Pato 50 starts or 50 appearances the other day.
Ooh.
You're not giving me anything, though.
No. I'll give you a clue. There's 7 between the two of them. 7 appearances between the two of them.
Okay, well, I know Dennis did play a lot of games last season because
Pat only came in halfway through last season.
Yeah.
He was still at Notts County this time last season, wasn't he?
He did every game this year as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I can't give any clues. It's 50-50.
I'll go Dennis.
Dennis has made 58 appearances and Pato is now on 51 appearances.
Well done. Well done. Yeah. Well done.
So what, they get 3 out of 5?
3 out of 5.
Not steady. Bad, is it?
Yeah, that's good. That's
puts
good.
I think puts you with Luke 09 and wasn't it? Luke was in there.
League got 3, I think. Yeah, we'll have to go back through the records to see where everyone else fared. But well done. You came through the quiz there unscathed. All right, then, as we move into the second half of the season, good morale in the dressing room still, everyone pulling in the right direction, and, you know, what could we achieve?
Yeah, no, I think... what can we achieve? I think we can make a real push. You know, I think as we've discussed, there's not really teams in the league that have outplayed us, or we've always been in games. So I think that we can take confidence from that. There's been a lot of players who haven't played championship football, so they've had a taste of it now. They know what it's all about. So I think we can you know, get everyone fit. You see the ability in the squad, the attacking players we've got. You know, the match winners, I think if we can put a little run together, we can, you know, get up in amongst the mix of the playoffs. That's the aim anyway, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And as captain, have you got a message for the Sunderland fans out there heading towards Christmas and New Year?
Yeah, just want to wish everyone a happy Christmas, happy New Year, and thank you for your support throughout this first part of the season. You know, obviously the home form has been not as good as we had liked, but you know, we're working every day as hard as we can to try and take everything and leave everything on the pitch. So I mean, you know, stick with us and enjoy the second part.
Corey Evans speaking to us here on SAFC Unfiltered. He's a lovely guy. He always speaks around the stadium on a match day as well. He's joined us on the gantry a few times, as we mentioned. But it's great to have a catch up with Corey, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought he spoke excellent there. I think pretty much covered what we came in to chat about, didn't he? Obviously his time joining the club, how it went last season, and how we're getting on so far this season. He had the similar views to I think what a lot of the fans are seeing so far this season. Perhaps a little bit frustration there, which is good. Yeah, he's the captain, he wants to drive us forward, and he knows there's a little bit more in the squad. Frustration as well, that the fact that we touched on it, lads coming out of the treatment room, a couple more, unfortunately, going the other way. But no, I think he's played his part this season, and he's the one driving us forward, along with the likes of Danny Barth and one or two of the other senior boys in the team.
Yeah, he's a very calm, measured character, isn't he? I think that's what you want in the captain.
It is different characters, you know. In my time at the club, Dean Whitehead wasn't a shouter, didn't rant and rave at people, just went about his business, more so with the performances. I was a quiet word in the change rooms, maybe at half-time before the game, just getting around the younger boys, and I think Corey looks a similar type of character.
Yeah, and he really likes playing for Sunderland. You can tell, you know, you have him come and visit his brother Johnny playing alongside you at the Stadium of Light, and now he finds himself as the captain as well.
Yeah, he said that there, didn't he? I think, you know, speaking to Johnny about his time at the club, Johnny, a young lad, learning his trade, coming up here a fair few years back now. But yeah, he's just mentioned it. He speaks to other teammates that he's played with, and they come up to the Stadium of Light, and we see it before the game. There's some lads, especially at League One level, almost in awe of coming up to the stadium, taking photos, filming the stadium, and that can obviously go one or two ways. Sometimes they get lost in the, you know, the sort of surroundings, really, or they can turn up and think, do you know what, I might not get the opportunity to come and play at a stadium like this again, so they put in a little bit more. But no, I think Corey, you can tell, I think he's enjoying his time up at Sunderland.
Now, as it's our last SAFC Unfiltered of 2022, we'd like to thank you all for listening to SAFC Unfiltered over the course of the previous calendar year. We will be back in 2023, hopefully with other members of the squad, management system, you know, people around the club. That's what we like to speak to here on SAFC Unfiltered. Thank you so much for subscribing. If you don't subscribe, go and do it right now. You can do so on all major podcast platforms. Thank you very much for listening. Have a good Christmas and a happy new year.
Yeah, all the best. Have a good Christmas. Stay safe, and we'll see you in the new year.